Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4-KIDS. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The Vice President and General Manager of your Chicago White Sox on the line. Rick Hahn's now joining me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. What's the most difficult thing for players and staff to try and navigate to stay safe?
The toughest part, though, Lawrence, is probably the same as it is for you or me as a person or any of your listeners, and that's just the unknown. I mean, quite frankly, like a week ago or so, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't fall back asleep and made the stupid mistake of wandering downstairs and looking at my cell phone at 4 in the morning, and lo and behold, there was a positive COVID test result there for one of our players. You just don't see that coming, and it's really what we're going to have to all 30 teams navigate through the course of this summer, and hopefully we get more good luck than bad along the way.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Luck's great. Being smart's better. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Layla Rahimi's going to join me at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about the White Sox. Let me start with a statement so that you understand exactly where I come from. And if you jump in along the way, hopefully you can hit the rewind button on the app, on the radio.com app, and go back and listen to it. I've loved sports for my entire life that I can remember. I mean, obviously, when you're 2 or 3, there's not a lot that you can remember. But I do remember growing up loving sports, watching them with my grandmother as young as 4 o'clock. Like, that's how I became a Bulls fan. That's how I became a DePaul fan. Her sitting me in front of the TV and watching DePaul basketball on Saturdays on Channel 9. I've loved baseball probably since then, too. I've loved it so much that I decided that I was going to make it my career. That broadcasting sports, covering sports, were things that I wanted to do for my entire life. When I got the opportunity back in 2003 to cover the Bears, I looked forward to it. I thought it was a real challenge, and I learned to love covering the NFL. By the time that my tenure was over as the Score's Bears beat reporter, I learned a lot of things about the NFL. I often talk about the idea of learning how the sausage is made. And that when you learn how the sausage is made, it can sometimes like sour your feelings on a lot of different things. For the most part, I mean, when it comes to the Bears, I mean, my fandom for the Bears is completely gone. But I do still enjoy talking about the Bears with you every day that we have the opportunity to do so. But like I was saying, towards the end of my tenure of covering the Bears for the Score, because you find out how the sausage is made and you interact with so many players and ex-players and coaches and front office people, that then you learn about all of the things that go into football and what happens after football is played, the sacrifices that players make to play the game. And it can be very ugly. I think that over the last few years, as all of us have become more aware of what happens to players, that there is a pause in the celebration of football. My feeling has always been, if players don't have the information hidden from them about what can happen to their bodies, what can happen to their brains, and they still agree to go out and play, fine, as long as all of the information is put in front of those players and then they have a choice to make, fine. You could argue that it affects more than just the player, that it affects their family, and in some tragic cases in the NFL, that has been true, that there has been crime that can be fairly easily linked to the playing of football that has resulted in lives being lost. But overall, if the NFL players are getting all the information, because there was a time where the NFL was hiding it from them, and is one of the things that made me very angry about covering the NFL, because there was a lot of shadows that were going on, and players weren't told what was possible. And at the end, a lot of guys make that choice, and they choose to play knowing that they might have a shorter life expectancy, that the end of their life is not going to be fun, that they deal with crippling debilitations all the time. I say that to try to explain to you that when it comes to covering football, something that I have made a living doing and will continue more than likely doing, I am completely conflicted. I'm conflicted when it comes to it. I still love the game. I still think the game is really awesome. I think there are a lot of things around the game that make it horrible. And I think I have a lot of concern for the guys that I covered, the guys that I know, the guys that I work with, about what happens to them after they're done playing. And I see those guys trying to work through all that stuff in a lot of different ways. And I applaud them for that, for taking on that challenge and trying to make themselves better, well-rounded, taking care of their bodies, trying to take care of their minds after they're done playing. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. And then I look at what's happening with baseball today. This is not the show that I planned on doing 12 hours ago. 12 hours ago, there was a plan for this show where we were going to talk a lot about lineup cards and deployment of starting rotations by Ricky Renteria. The Cubs' fast start, them winning their series, having some good things happen yesterday. Why I love and hate watching Yu Darvish pitch at the same time. And maybe at some point today we will get to some of those things. But I want you to understand that people who do this for a living, people that write, people who talk about sports, for the most part, there are some outliers. But for the most part, everyone who is involved in sports broadcasting and sports media overall is rooting for sports to return. I think there are people who, and Kyle Brandt's one of them, and it's really disappointing, that want to throw the smoke bomb out there of people who work in sports are rooting against sports to return. For someone who's Ivy League educated, I find that to be the most simplistic, silly idea that I've heard when it comes to this. even if you want to play the game of follow the money, if I'm selfish, sports being back helps me make more money. Like, if we take nothing else into account, sports being back helps me to make more money. I can work in the environment where sports are limited, and I think over the last 3.5 months, sports media overall has done a really good job of it. But there are still going to be less eyes, less ears, less people clicking on what it is we do if there aren't sports to talk about. In some ways, overall, we are in bed with sports. Remember how earlier I was talking about conflict? Yeah, there's a conflict there. But this conflict is the good type of conflict of interest. It is within my financial interest to act like nothing is wrong, to tell you the things that you want to hear, and not the things that are. It is in the financial interest of this radio station, the TV station that I work at, the print and electronic journalists, to tell you that everything's fine and you should just go ahead and we'll expect for there to be baseball later on tonight. And don't look over here where massive mistakes are taking place. I'm rooting for sports to succeed. That doesn't blind me to the realities of what is happening with baseball in particular. The reason that I think that it's a good conflict of interest is that you should understand that for the most part, a large majority of the people, I would say almost unanimously, but there again, there are some outliers, need this to succeed. You've heard me talk about my feelings about what's happened at this radio station when it came to decisions that had to be made from a financial basis. Colleagues and friends have been let go because in a world where there isn't sports, running a sports radio station is really difficult financially to do. But I'm not going to turn away whatever journalistic integrity you think I have. And more importantly, whatever journalistic integrity I think I have, to not point out when stuff is bad and it is in danger of collapsing. That's not someone rooting for it. That's someone who has plenty to gain by lying to you, telling you the truth. And I'm annoyed that there are already people lining up to act as if we don't want sports back. I watched every minute of every one of the Cubs and Sox games this weekend, along with watching the sky, along with checking in on the NBA. Because at the heart of what it is that I do for a living, I love sports. That's why I do this. But that love for it does not blind me to the issues and problems that are in front of us as we speak. And it's my job to tell you that sports is in jeopardy. And sports is in jeopardy right now. Baseball in particular is in jeopardy right now. No one is rooting for this to collapse. But I think plenty of people have said, can you make this work? This seems like a really difficult thing that you're trying to do. Are you sure that you can pull it off? And there are going to be franchises that do really well with this. So far, the Cubs and the White Sox can be put into that boat of teams that have seemingly through a week have done this well. And I'm not even talking about you have to have zero positives. Zero positive COVID tests. That's even with good practices, you might end up with someone who ends up getting the virus through no fault of their own. What we've seen this past weekend in Miami is dereliction. What we've seen with the Miami Marlins is something that should infuriate everyone involved with sports. It should infuriate anyone involved in baseball because they have put everyone at risk. If you're not aware of the story and how all of this started, the Marlins had their flight to Philadelphia delayed because two of the crew members on the plane tested positive for COVID. Now imagine being on a plane in a place where with no real air circulation with a group of people. So they changed out the flight crew. The Marlins end up having four positive tests. They go and play the Phillies anyway. And it looks like the manager of the Marlins allowed the team to make the decision to whether or not they should play. We are in a space in the Republic. And sometimes in sports, and I will freely admit to you that some of the myth-making of what it is we do in media, capital M, plays a role in this. The idea that the answer to every problem is to push through it. That the answer is, no matter what, push through it. These are dangerous ideas. And it allows us to have this security in false bravado. The Marlins themselves decided that they were going to continue to play. And by them continuing to play, it put the Phillies in jeopardy. And had this not been found, it would have put the Yankees in jeopardy. It puts the Orioles in jeopardy. Baltimore, by the way, flew into Miami and was like, we are not staying here. And they are now turning around and going back to Baltimore. So now you have dereliction of duty by one manager and one team putting the entire thing at risk. And they were already running at a high level of difficulty to pull this off because they aren't in a bubble. Because they are just out there in the world. And it doesn't matter that the Cubs might be doing it correctly or the White Sox might be doing it correctly. This is Jenga. And all it takes is one well-placed piece to fall out and the whole thing collapses. This is madness. I don't know how MLB can look at what happened and there not be severe consequences. But here's my thing. The punishment, the punitive aspect of it is important to me, but it's not more important than the safety of the players. If I'm a White Sox player and I'm now in Cleveland, how do I concentrate on the game? If I'm a Cub and I'm in Cincinnati, how do I concentrate on the game? The answer is the trope that we keep coming back to. We'll just power through. That's what we'll do. We'll power through this thing. Your conviction doesn't keep people safe. And in the case of the Marlins, their conviction to power through put the entire league in jeopardy. You and I can't sit here and be mad at the White Sox because they still want to give Aloy Jimenez a glove. And he hasn't figured out ball wall, ball wall, ball wall yet.